Good morning, Oregon, and thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Audio Edition Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. You'll find full details at offbeatoregon.com, our anchor page. Check that out, but first sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of the Harney County rancher who saved a pioneer Oregon aviator's life one night. Barnstormer Ted Barber was down to his last half cup of gasoline, flying along in the dark on a stormy night over unlighted eastern Oregon with no idea where to land, just waiting to run out of fuel and die. This is how he made it, with the help of a new friend. The story was first published on March 10th, 2011, under the headline, Harney County Rancher Saves Pioneer Oregon Aviator's Life. Here we go. On a stormy late summer evening in 1930, a few feet above the ground near the Oregon-Nevada border, 22-year-old Ted Barber was preparing to die. Barber was an aviation pioneer, Central Oregon's first and for a long time only barnstormer. His ship was a primitive old biplane called a Waco 9, powered by a slow and unreliable war surplus engine called a Curtiss OX-5, built before World War I, actually. He was flying the Waco now. It was a very dark night in a very remote place. He had no idea where he was or even what direction he was flying in. It was too dark to see his compass. When his fuel ran out, he would try to execute a dead stick landing in the dark. The chances of success were in the thousands to one against. And in this sparsely populated section of Oregon, the chances were no one would even notice the wreckage for days. And he knew he had no one to blame but himself. Barber was on a barnstorming trip from his home in Bend. A few days before, he'd flown down to Frank Henry's ranch in the Catlow Valley on the west side of the Steens Mountain. The Henrys were putting on a dance in the town of Andrews, just over the mountain from their spread, and Ted was there to sell airplane rides. It hadn't gone so well. His engine had quit twice. He'd had to make emergency landings in the eastern Oregon sagebrush. No one was hurt, but the lashing sage had torn up the fabric of the lower wings of his biplane pretty bad. By the end of the day, Barber was pretty eager to get back to the Henrys' ranch. But the day was hot, the air was thin and gusty, and his shredded-up bottom wing wasn't giving as much lift as it usually did. Barber couldn't get his plane to climb high enough to clear the Steens. He tried and tried with increasing desperation as the sun sank lower in the sky until suddenly he realized he didn't have enough gasoline left to get back to the ranch, even if he did get over the mountain. He'd have to find somewhere to land. If he'd realized this earlier, Ted could have flown leisurely along with plenty of gas looking for a ranch house to set down the Waco next to. He could have overflown a promising hay field to make sure that it was safe, no barbed wire fences, no big rocks, no stone walls, and then made a hair-raising but basically safe landing in the gloaming twilight just in time for supper at the ranch. That's what could have happened. But it didn't. Instead, here he was, flying just a little above stall speed through the darkness, a dozen feet above a vague line of lighter darkness. The starlit signature of a dusty country road, which he had, through just sheer dumb luck, stumbled upon a little earlier. He was sticking with the road because crashing there would be much better than crashing in a hayfield someplace. The biplane's engine droned on. Ted couldn't understand why it was still running. It should have sipped its last drop of gasoline sometime earlier. But he wasn't complaining. The longer that engine ran, the longer his life would run. He was a dead man flying. He'd take every extra second. Then he saw something, or rather the shadowy outline of something, that gave him a glimmer of hope. It was a little copse of trees, the kind that people plant and cultivate around ranch houses in eastern Oregon. Peering into the darkness, he thought he saw a house there as well, but it was hard to see. In those pre-rural electrification days, nighttime in the country was lit only by the stars. If it was a house, crashing in front of it would be far better than crashing anywhere else. He circled a copse of trees, trying to get a better look. Then a light went on in a window. When Ralph Grove heard the engine droning outside, he knew exactly what that meant. It was the middle of the night. Some stormy weather was coming in. Nobody would be out flying on a night like this unless he was in serious trouble. Ralph lit a lantern and hurried out into the shed in which he kept his automobile. He knew just the field that pilot should be landing in. Several dozen feet overhead, Barber was praying for gasoline, hardly daring to hope. He'd spotted a lighter patch of darkness that looked like a cultivated field, which would mean no big rocks to smash into, and he was trying to keep in a position that if the engine quit, he could reach that field. He watched Grove's lantern moving from the house and disappearing, apparently into a shed. Then lights came on, and he saw an automobile come out of the shed and drive onto the road. Down below, Grove was hurrying down the road to the field in his car. He whipped it into position and let the lights of its headlights spill out over the stubbly field, lighting up a row of willow trees at its extreme end. Overhead, Barber lined up on the field, grabbing the lifeline, not sure if he'd even make it through the final turn without running out of gas, and then he was on the ground and bumping to a stop and shutting off his engine and safe. The next morning, Ted learned two things. First, the field he'd been lining up on when he saw Grove's house was the Grove family's vegetable garden. It was 150 feet by 300 feet, fenced and, for good measure, cross-fenced. He would not have survived an attempt to land there. And second, when he put his dipstick into the gas tank to see how much gas was left, the end that thumped the bottom of the tank was dry, at the very lowest corner, not even moist when he brought it back up. All the fuel left in that airplane was just what was in the fuel lines, and the Curtiss OX-5 engine burns 9 gallons an hour. He'd landed with about 30 seconds worth of fuel left in his airplane. Ted Barber went on to become a flight trainer during World War II, and later became known as a barnstorming Mustanger, using an airplane to round up feral horses on the range in Nevada. Despite dozens of close calls and crashes over the years, including at one point jumping out of his plane head first while it was falling off a Nevada mountain, he was still around in 1987 to write his memoirs. Quote, "It is hard to understand why some people are allowed only one mistake and are killed by it," is what he wrote then. "I don't have enough fingers and toes to count the really tough spots I have survived." Well, that's it for today's episode. If you're listening for the first time and want some more information about Offbeat Oregon history, you can get everything at our central website, offbeatoregon.com. The complete catalog of about 195 columns going back to 2008, plus links out to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes, and to the Facebook page and Twitter feed, in case you'd like to join the conversation. The website's also where you'll find full citations to sources for this story, which in this case include just one, Ted Barber's book, The Barnstorming Mustanger. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, written by Carmen Ficarra. Coming to Corvallis, drop me a line and let's grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. I'm proud to offer this podcast under a Creative Commons license. For details, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Well, that's it for today, and tomorrow we're going to talk about Liberty ships, cranked out at a rate of 2 or 3 a week out of the Portland shipyards with the stated goal of building them faster than Hitler and Tojo could sink them. And by those lights, the program was a wild success. Those guys never had a chance. I'll tell you all about that tomorrow. Look for that story after about 6 a.m. And in the meantime, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.